welcome and God's peace to everybody here on this Good Friday evening. For a text this morning, I would like to read from the Gospel of John. It will be chapter 19. It is always interesting how we call this Good Friday, you know. It doesn't always seem such a good day because it's the day that God died, or Jesus died on the cross, the Son of God. But we remember why he died. He died so that each one of us could be with him in eternity. We call it a Good Friday because this is the day the price was paid for our sins. This is the day we call that into remembrance that it was our sin that drove him to the cross, so that he could pay for it, and we could be with him in eternity. And why did he do all this? He did it because he loves you. He loves me. He loves each one of us here. He loves us enough that, as we're going to read here, he suffered for us and died. And as we're just saying, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called the host of heaven to come and pull him off that cross. But he didn't. And he didn't because he loves you. And he wanted to pay that price for you, so that you could be with him. So we'll read from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, starting in the first verse. So then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith to them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews." And Pilate answered him, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, and made four parts to every soldier, a part and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be filled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they poured a sponge of water, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers, with a spear, pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that he might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fears of the Jews, besought Pilate, that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in that garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Amen. So this is a little bit of a longer text, but it does go over the whole story here. From with Pilate casting judgment on him and saying he is innocent. I find no fault in this man. Because as we know, there was no fault. Jesus did not sin. Jesus did not do wrong. But in other parts of the Bible, it says that the Jews, especially the council of the Jews and like the Sanhedrin and the chief priests, they were envious of him, of all the attention he was getting from the Jews. And so with that, they were trying to get rid of him. We know before this, it talks about how Judas betrayed him. They paid Judas 30 silvers to betray him, to betray the Son of God. And he took it. With this, and then we have, as it continued on, Peter, as they were talking to Jesus in the chief priest's place, Peter denies him 3 times. Right? And a lot of us can kind of relate to Peter, where it's like, when everything seems to be going wrong, it's so easy to be like, I'm not a part of that. I'm just going to withdraw. I don't want anything to do with this anymore. And he just denied it. He's like, I don't know that man. Of course, Jesus knew this was happening, right? Before this, Jesus had prophesied. Well, he had told Peter this was going to happen. Before the cock crows thrice, you will deny me 3 times. And so, all this is leading up, and then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Right? We all know the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Kind of making a mockery of him. You say you're a king? Here's your crown and robes. As we know in other parts of the Bible, it says that after Pilate gave permission to crucify him, they went and they scourged him, they whipped him, and they took a reed and they hit his head and hit the crown of thorns with that reed. These are all the things that Jesus went through. These are the things that he had to go through in order to pay this price. These are the things that he could have saved himself if he had called that host of angels. He could have prevented all of this. But if he had, where would we be today? All of us, without this, without him going through this, we would be hopeless. We would have no hope. We would all be damned by our own sins. It's only because Jesus was willing to do this. He's willing to go to this cross and suffer these things. And again, why did he do this? It's because he loves you. It's out of the love of his heart for each one of us here today. That's why he suffered these things. And so, as we keep going on with this story, you know, the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him with this robe and this crown, and said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault." And Jesus answered him, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Right? This is their accusation. He said he's the Son of God. That's why he needs to die. It wasn't because of any big crime. Like we know, in other parts they talk about Barabbas, right? He was an insurrectionist. He rebelled against the kingdom. He was a murderer. He killed people. And they said, "We would rather have this murderer released into us than this person who claims he's the Son of God." It shows you the hearts of men, how easily swayed we are. In other parts, it also talks how the chief priests, they were turning the people against Jesus. And why were they doing this? Because they were envious. They had envy in their heart. They didn't like it that he was telling people how to be closer to God. They didn't like it that he would talk to them and tell them how they're disobeying God's commandments, because they were like white sepulchers with dirty bones inside. They liked to put on a show and pretend to be so righteous, but they didn't really have a relationship with God. And so, instead of looking at themselves when they were exposed by this light, they said, "We want to get rid of it. We don't like the light. It shines too brightly. Let's get rid of it so that we can continue in our ways." And so when Pilate heard that he said he's the Son of God, he was more afraid. And so he went back to Jesus and said, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus didn't answer. In all these questions, Jesus hardly said a word to him. He didn't defend himself. And he relates why right here. Because Pilate says, "You know, I could release you. I have the power. I could set you free if you just explain these things to me." But Jesus said, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." The only true power comes from God. Right? Again, as we're saying, he could have called 10,000 angels. When one angel comes to visit, men fall on their face in fear. One angel comes to visit, usually the first thing that they have to say is, "Be not afraid." If he could have called 10,000, what could mankind do against that? But he didn't. Because this had to happen. It says in Hebrews, it's talking about the Old and New Testament, and it says the Testament has to be set up in blood. There has to be blood. In the Old Testament, you had the sacrifices. In the New Testament, we have Jesus. It's his blood that seals this testament, if you want to say. It's his blood that gives us hope that we could be in heaven again. And so after he gives this answer to Pilate, he's like, "I don't want to kill this guy. He's done nothing wrong. I don't want to kill him. I'm going to release him." But the Jews said, "If you let him go, you are not a friend of Caesar. Because whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Now, that's not an accusation you really want going around, is that you're against the emperor of the empire? That you are going against his wishes? And so they're kind of pushing Pilate into a corner with this. And so it was that in the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." He's like, "This is your king." Because, I mean, it makes sense, right? The only reason to kill him would be because he's going against Caesar. He's a king. He's the king of the Jews, and so he's against Caesar. That's the only reasoning Pilate could come with. But they said, "Away with him, away with him. Crucify him." And Pilate saith unto him, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." That's what, in some of the notes I've read on this, they said it's the chief priests, the Pharisees would never dare to say this, because this is blasphemy. Because to the Jews, only God could be king. That's how God set it up, right? That he would be the king. Of course, in the end, Israel did ask for kings later on. But like, this is too close to blasphemy. But the chief priest, he so hated Jesus that he was willing to say, "We have no king but Caesar." He so hated the Son of God that he was like, "I will subject us to this earthly ruler rather than follow after God's commandments." So they delivered him to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. And so he bore his cross to a place of this skull called Golgotha. And they crucified him with one thief on one side and another thief on the other side. And again, as we read in some of the other accounts, one of the thieves mocked him up there along with everybody else, saying, "If you really are the Son of God, save yourself and save us too." The other one said, "You don't know what you're talking about. He is the Son of God." And then he asked, I don't remember the exact, but basically he talked with Jesus and was like, "Forgive us," if I remember correctly. But in the end, anyways, Jesus says, "You will be with me in heaven." This man, he was up there for a reason. And on his deathbed, if you want to say, he turned to Christ. It's never too late for us to turn to Christ. There's always hope. Because why? Because he loves you. He loves each one of us. And if you could just turn to him, trust in him, believe in him, believe that he died for your sins today, you can be in heaven with him. It doesn't matter. You don't have to do all these great works, as some religions make you do. You don't have to live a righteous life your whole life. We know none of us are capable of that. You just turn to him. Turn to Jesus, and he will save you. And then, as they go on, and some of this we read in the psalm earlier, where the soldiers, right, they parted his garments among themselves, and they cast lots for his vestures. Because his jacket had no seams, and they're like, "We don't want to rip it, so we'll cast lots." Just as it says in the Psalms. And then at the cross, Jesus turns to, there's four women who came with him, and the disciple whom he loved, which we understand to be John. And he says, as he's up there in agony, he turns to his mother and says, "Behold your son." And he turns to John and says, "Behold your mother." Even in this, he's looking after his family. He's looking after those that he loves. He sees that his mother will be left alone. And so he says, "Behold your son and behold your mother. Take care of each other." Even in today, in the church, we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. We take care of each other. We try to follow after what he showed and love each other. Because that is, as you probably all heard, the Bible is a love story. That is what drives this whole story, is love. That is the whole reason Jesus came to be here, is love. love for you and love for me. Love for each one of us here. And so after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be filled, saith, I thirst. And instead of, as we sang, instead of giving him water, what did they give him? Vinegar. There was no water for him. And after he received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. This is where he's like, I have paid the price. I have done what needs to be done. And now he passed away. He died. The Jews, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that they might, that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture that saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. With this bone that's not broken, they point out in the Old Testament, the lamb that was sacrificed, a bone was not to be broken on it. They weren't supposed to break any bones of the lamb that was sacrificed. And it just shows another picture of Jesus. He is our sacrifice. He is the sacrifice for our sins. So then, one of the images that comes to mind with this whole cross is as in the Pilgrim's Progress. They talk about this heavy weight that Christian is carrying. And as is kind of mentioned in the prayer as well, this heavy weight we live with when we don't have Christ, right? We have this heavy weight of sin and burdens, regrets, things that we've done wrong. And we're walking through life. And he's trying to find, he's like, where can I find relief from this? Who will help me? And it's not until he gets to the cross. At the cross, he's able to lay his burdens down. At the cross is where you find relief from these things. You find forgiveness for all the wrong that you've done. It wasn't to other people, so to speak. I mean, we do find comfort, and we have the confession and absolution, which definitely brings us comfort. But the power behind that is the cross. It's at the cross that our sins were paid for. It's at the cross where Jesus took that burden from each one of us and said, I will bear this for you. And again, I want to drive this home. Why did he do this? Why would he be willing to do this for us? It's love. It all comes back to this. He loves you. He loves you to the point that he would bear your burdens. He would take your sin upon him. He would be despised by all men. Killed on the cross for you and for me, for all sinners. That's why he's there. That's why he did this. And so then it continues, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So if I remember correctly, in another gospel, it talks a little more about this Joseph of Arimathea. I believe he was on the council when they were discussing killing Jesus, and he opposed. He said, "We shouldn't be doing this." But obviously he was outvoted, and they decided to go ahead with it. And so here he's scared of the Jews, but he still wants to do right by Jesus, because he was a disciple of Jesus. And so he takes the body and puts it in a tomb that he had made for himself. A tomb that no man had laid yet. No man had been laid in yet. And this is all done before the Sabbath day, which is Saturday. Right? So now, this is the end of the Good Friday story. But we know this is not the end of the story. If you want to say, this is like the climax of a story. When you're reading a novel or whatever, right, you don't know what's coming next. We know what's coming next. But if you didn't know, this is where it ended. Like, this is kind of a sad ending. We know there's more to come, but we haven't got there yet. And there's a reason we have a Good Friday, and then we have an Easter service. Easter is where we continue this story. We continue with what happened with Jesus. And I think we will save that for Easter. And it will be a blessed day. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather here together and to worship you and to praise you and to remember this day that we use. Remember this gift that your son has given. Remember the struggle that he went through, the pain and the rejection that he suffered for each one of us here. And Lord, most importantly, we remember why you sent your son, to die for our sins because you loved us. And Lord, we ask that you would just fill each of us here with love, that you would help us, Lord, to follow after you and to show the love that you've shown us to those around us, and to let us be a beacon of light unto this world, a beacon of hope and a beacon of love. And dear Lord, we just ask that you would continue to watch over and guide us. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to shine your light and your love upon each one of us here. Now, may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.